Hello, you are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me today, Bahi Yusuf, Julian Yap, and Ian McNally. And it's a bit of a different show today. We're not talking about movies. We're also not talking about television or whatever it is that television has become. Instead, we are kind of throwing it back a little bit, because recently when we were talking about Godzilla, we realized that a member of our cohort had actually not seen the Jamiroquai video that was like really big, kind of really big.
That was linked to that movie. Yeah.
Of the original.
They'd never been deeper underground.
Yes, yeah,
the
exactly.
Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Yeah, and so that began a little bit of, let's face it, yelling at Julian and telling, you know, just yelling music titles at Julian and kind of forcing her to watch music videos in a way that, I, looking back now, I realize, sorry.
It was sorry, fun. My life was changed. What an education.
And so we thought, why not talk about music videos? Because they're kind of an art form on their own, and they've also evolved a lot over the years, right? Like, and we all seem to have pretty different relationships with the music videos that we grew up with. Like, for instance, I kind of grew up watching music videos and like waiting anxiously for them to reappear on MTV or Channel V, because YouTube wasn't an option. So if you wanted to rewatch it, you just have to wait for some time in the cycle for it to come back.
And then you're screaming at a sibling going, it's on!
Hurry! And my sibling specifically, my sister and I, were always trying to get the moves. So you have to watch like, I don't know how long, just to in order to be able to like cobble together something resembling choreography. And it was huge. It was a really big deal for me.
I think it was the moment, right? We had, here in Malaysia at least, MTV Asia, and we had Channel V. And at the time that we were watching it, it was primarily music video. The M in MTV still stood for music. So we did get a lot of music videos. We got a lot of the American shows. And it was a place where we learned about new music, but it was also a place where we just finally figured out what these guys looked like half the time.
Yeah, you know the pyramid in the MTV logo used to zoom in on?
Yeah.
So like just when they finished completing that pyramid, that's when I started watching music videos.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we can talk about waiting on the MTV to replay the video you liked. You had to wait maybe a couple of hours, I guess, Lynn, right? Or maybe a day or two? Depending on the rotation, I guess.
It depended on how popular it was. Yeah. So as it started to fade out of popularity, you'd be like, it's going. I've learned nothing.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm old. So our introduction to music videos was a TV show in Ireland called Music Television USA, which was every week. So you have to wait a week to see music videos. And, you know, that was the genesis and building of all these things that we come to think of as music videos, the foundations, as it were. Yeah. You know, that's where you get your thrillers. That's where you get your Michael Jackson videos becoming an event. Mm. You know, these were mini movies, and they were building at that time. Like now it's a bit more like we'll catch them on YouTube, but they were an event in themselves.
Yeah.
They were a product in themselves.
So Julian here is the only one who I think didn't have to put up with this nonsense and who had like YouTube just available to her. What was your relationship like with music videos growing up? Like, was it a big deal or was it just kind of like meh?
So I think I grew up just on the butt end of MTV, just as it was declining and dying. I used to come back after school and watch the Pimp My Ride MTV Cribs. I used to watch Sweet 16. Like, the music videos would be in between those. So it wasn't, I did have the countdown. I loved doing the 20-to-1 top whatever. But even then it was, oh, I don't know this song. Well, whatever. Music videos never seemed like a big deal, save for, you know, the very iconic few that I grew up with. But then I also grew up in a time where there was a little dip and a drop off between MTV and the introduction of YouTube and Vevo, especially because when Vevo came out and, you know, we had very high definition HD, it was, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like it felt like a reappreciation of music videos as an art compared in the same way that MTV was when MTV came out. So in that time, I think there was a little bit of a slump where there was not a lot of creativity was put into them, you know, except for the few artists that were. So I don't know. I think I grew up in a bad time.
All right. So we've just been like tossed on the waves of nostalgia over the last few days trying to figure out how we were going to do this show. What we've decided is we'll take you through our favorites. We'll take you through the ones that, for whatever reason, captured us. We would love to hear from you, though, because you know, we're all different generations of music video watchers. Let us know what your favorite music videos have been. What are the ones that come to mind when we talk about how great they are? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY and write us movies@bfm.my. So I think we'll start off probably with the oldest song. I think it's the easiest way to go. Because
the oldest
then
guy.
You did it to yourself. Yeah, like, no one else forced you to do this. Okay, so what's Ian, what's your choice?
So for me, it had to be Dire Straits Money for Nothing, because again, this was this kind of thing where if you saw it on TV in the 80s, it immediately grabbed your eye. It's this weird polygonal video of these guys delivering stuff cut to the neon kind of rotoscoped versions of Dire Straits and the band playing. And it was this thing where you don't have to have the band playing. You can have them playing, but you can have something else going on. But it grabs your attention immediately. And looking at that video now, yes, I think what you've talked about, it's Minecraft, essentially, basically.
Yeah, it's, you know, polygons and squares. It's paint in a music video, sure.
But what blew my mind when I was looking into it was the director, Steve Barron, also directed A-ha's Take on Me, Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Oh. And he also directed Mike Bassett, England manager from 2001.
Oh, that's an interesting lineup of work there.
It's just I also directed Coneheads and the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So the guys who did the special effects on this show, they went on to form Mainframe Entertainment, which made the cartoon Reboot.
Oh, wow.
If you've ever heard of from the 90s. So this is like ground zero for all sorts of stuff.
I also remember having, when watching that video, you're going, you know, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, hang on, they've got these animated stuff and then they've got the video stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's that conversation that we old people regularly have about how the kids
things are better now.
No, but how the kids will never have that moment of just your minds being blown, because you grow up in a world knowing what computers can do. Yeah. We didn't know what computers were.
Because it was 15 years after this video that you first got to try VR that looked like that. And that was cutting edge.
That was great.
The fact that you put on a helmet, could turn around and see the, like, it was a pterodactyl, but looked like the guys from Money for Nothing. That was bleeding edge.
I realized that we just kind of lied, because Bahe's choice is actually older, but everybody just let it go.
Well, I thought you meant as in the oldest person in the room.
Yeah, no,
that
would fair be enough.
Yeah, I always take it that way. Yeah.
However, you actually want to talk about one of my favorite music videos as well, which is Bob Dylan and his original lyric video form.
Yeah, so the video is called Subterranean Homesick Blues. It's one of the simplest videos I think I've ever seen. It's a single shot, Bob Dylan standing in front of an alley and just sort of dropping cue cards with words from the song in time with the song. And I think it's so Bob Dylan in the sense that you're not going to get Bob Dylan running around a concert hall. You know, this is what Bob Dylan would want to do in a music video. He's not even singing the words. He's just staring blankly at the camera or behind the camera, or someone's walking across the street, whatever. And I just have so many questions about this video.
Also, when was it shot?
Well, I just looked it up. So it was one of the first modern promotional film clips. And it was filmed, I think, in 1965, or at least it was used in a documentary about his, or rather it was used in his 1965 tour of England. So sometime before that is what I'm guessing.
Must be 64 at least,
But the quality of it is great. And I don't necessarily mean the filmic quality of it. But just,
I don't know. I think the filmic quality is pretty sweet.
I just enjoy it a lot. The first time I watched it, I thought that I was having a fever dream. It has that quality. You're like, did this song have a music video? Oh, that is Bob Dylan. Yeah. This is great. Yeah, it was really fun.
The reason I wanted to bring it up is because we've seen it being redone a couple of times, the dropping of the cue cards and the lyrics of a song. And I think, you have to go back to the original. This is the original of where that trope was even born. And I think
very influential.
Yeah, look up the video and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And we will all have our different generational versions of like, oh, that's where that came from.
We're talking today about music videos, specifically our favorites. We want to know yours as well. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at skipintromy and write us at movies@bfm.my. We'll be back to continue this after this. Keep it here on Skip Intro BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian, Julian and Bahe. Today we're talking about music videos, specifically our favourites, because we're all kind of different generations in the room. We have different relationships with music videos. So we thought just kind of plucking from what's been around would be a good primer of sorts. I think the next one might actually be mine, and it's Michael Jackson, Black or White. And I told about equality. And it's you, either you're wrong or you're right. I recognize that Michael Jackson's become something of a problematic figure now. And that doesn't change, though, the fact that he's kind of a big deal in terms of music videos, in terms of music, but music videos specifically. And the first time I saw Macaulay Culkin getting like just doing all the stuff and heads morphing as they go side to side, I mean, it's such a crazy music video. And for a child to watch Black or White and to take you on that journey from place to place, it was nuts. Until now, I don't think I've gotten over the first experience of watching that video.
There's a really interesting thing about how, I guess in some ways it was the first time, I guess, that you would see, for me at least, I saw people who's not from the American subcontinent in a music video by an American musician.
Right, yeah.
You know, because there were in that moment that you said, you spoke about how the heads were morphing as it turned from left to right. There was an Indian girl, lady rather. And I remember watching that going, oh, did they go to India and shoot that? I mean, I was a kid, right? Yeah. But it's an idea of like, oh, wow, look at all these people, really. And it really fit that idea of black or white. I think that was great.
I remember this was being launched on Top of the Pops in the UK. So oh, people wow. were like waiting to see what this show, what this would be
what
like.
What this news music video would
yeah.
be.
Yeah. So like it was an event, like they were counting down to it like while showing other bands and other
I
videos.
I think only Michael Jackson could do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And I think it's super interesting. I watched Black or White after Michael Jackson had died. And it was the first Michael Jackson video I'd ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I still remember watching Black or White and thinking, oh, my God, Michael Jackson is kind of great. He's kind of cool. I'm going to go find out more. And I watched loads of his music videos from there.
And he was one of those great cinematic music video makers. I mean, Remember the Time was like nuts.
Yeah,
Blood Eddie on Murphy, the Dance Floor, yeah. nuts. You know, so he just really did that and spent like, made movies out of music videos. So just in terms of sheer like, of like brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking that step, right? He sort of really wanted to make it more than just a promotional tool for a new single that's coming out. I mean, John Landis directed
Thriller.
I mean, what? And I think he wanted John Landis. He wanted the cinema look. He wanted the guy who made American Werewolf in Paris. Yeah. Yeah, I think. So it's just like, okay, cool.
Julian, what would you like to talk about? Because yours are pretty interesting choices, but they're all like, I want to know what
they're
gonna...
newer choices.
Yeah, they
let's
are.
Say that. Yeah. So I want to bring up "Call Your Girlfriend" by Robin. I think it's one of my favorite music videos of all time. It's so simple. I mean, it's Robin just dancing. It's a one-shot take dancing to this song that is very much a pop song, but she dances her way through it in a way that doesn't feel that it's just a pop song. You know, there's pain in it. Even
there's
though
abandon.
It's, yeah,
yeah.
And it feels like it's improvised and it feels very personal. I think when you watch it, you just feel like you're watching someone dancing in their room. Mm. There are points when she's punching in the air and she's does these very flowy, exhaly movements because it's how you feel a song. And I think that was one of the music videos that you kind of feel with the artist as they're performing it. And I really like that. And when we were talking about this, Lynn, you said that you knew the SNL version of it, the
Tarantillum, yeah, which is great.
And I was thinking, if I was hard pressed like right now, I think I could remember 80 or 90% of this music video because the dance moves in this is so iconic and I love it so much.
I'm going to say something that I'm not sure anyone else has said, and like, I'm just going to go for it. I think this is very similar to the Bob Dylan video in that it is you watching an artist just make a video that is a perfect expression of the song. Like, I don't think Subterranean Homesick Blues with its like lyric intense da 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 could have been done in any other way. And I'm not sure that a dance song as deeply felt and also as weirdly emotional as Call Your Girlfriend could have been done in any other way except that music video. All right, so to cycle all the way back, Ian, what's your second choice?
So again, a little different from what I had before. We did ask for feedback on Twitter. A lot of people sent in a lot of Michel Gondry videos, who's done an awful lot, but I didn't realize he had done this one. It's always stuck in my head from 2002, and it's Chemical Brothers' Star Guitar. What he did was he sat on a train and went back and forth and recorded all the footage and then edited it into a 3D landscape where items appear in the landscape as the music comes along. So when you hear a certain electronic instrument weave in and out, you'll see a track beside the train weaving in and out in time with that. Every time there's a power station in the background and you can see the pipes, and the pipes map to the backbeat of something else happening. And when it gets to a certain spot, like a wall comes in place. The amount of work it must have taken just to figure out where to put stuff. And then I don't understand how he edited that footage in 2002.
Really, really slowly.
Because it doesn't look seamless. Your eye can tell there's something wrong from the start.
Yeah.
But it just matches this kind of music with the train going.
Yeah. For me, it was also when it's like, because I was watching it just from the corner of my eye. And then when it fades to night and then fades to morning again, I was like, wait, this can't be a long train.
This isn't real.
So then I went back and I watched again, and they did, and I realized that it wasn't shot in one train ride, right? But obviously, as a cinematographer, you're thinking about, well, what's a backdrop background that doesn't sort of move too much when if you're thinking of doing these kinds of cuts? And well, a train's great.
Yeah.
All right. Bahe?
I'm going to bring up a little, it's a little obvious, but smells like Teen Spirit, Nirvana. And this is a personal choice for me because I remember watching this going, this is crazy. You know, you can't, not you can't, but people don't do stuff like this. This is, but it's how we all felt at the time, right? I can't be sure if I saw it before or after Kurt Cobain passed. It could be maybe after, but I just think that I think it became a lot bigger after he passed away, and then they started playing the videos a lot. So I really like that video. It's just something so despair about
the
it.
Energy of it is crazy. I mean, thinking about it, I can still see the hair flying. You know, just that video.
And there's like smoke everywhere and
there's like anarchist cheerleaders who are not really dancing correctly, and there's a really weird old man trying to mop the floor, and it's just,
is this the end of the world? It's got
if
that quality.
It is, I'm okay, I guess.
I had never seen this music video until today.
Just because
I know the song as, you know, Nirvana spells like Teen Spirit, but I've never seen the music video, and I can see where you guys are coming from, but I also grew up in a time and I love the bands that came off of this and were inspired by this. So things like My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, you know, so seeing that influence and that original music video for it, I think it was super cool.
It's the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you, it's the classic radio station, but for me, it's like my teenage years.
Do you guys remember Song 2?
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
And the music video for that? Yes. It's got the same quality. The the world might be ending.
But for me, Song 2 is more like a Foo Fighters video, right? Where there's there's energy. Where there's energy and performance. Whereas Nirvana's one is more just, because nobody's looking at the camera. Kurt Cobain's not singing to anybody. He's got his eyes closed half the time. He just didn't care, right? And for me, that began the grunge thing, right? And then you sort of fall over into Pearl Jam, you fall over into Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun, which is in itself is a really weird video. But this was, for me, the gateway drug.
I'm going to go from that to like super polished because my two favorite music videos of the last 10 years or so both belong to, I think, the Knowles sisters, specifically Solange and Beyoncé. So with Solange, it's Losing You, which was shot as like this super stylish, joyous celebration of like friendship and fashion. And it's just beautiful to look at. And it's got like that signature level of saturation, and I adore it simply because being there feels like every time I watch it, my brain goes on holiday. So it's the opposite of Nirvana. It's like I might be stuck in a cold office after this. I've got 1,000 things left to do, but I'm just going to click repeat one more time because I want to be here with you guys, jumping into this pool, dancing next to barbers, celebrating elegance. Like, I just really, really enjoy that. There's also Beyoncé and Ape Beep, which I can't say on air, but I just wanted to. Knowles sisters. Awesome. And now to like the very last, but also the kind of like, and the most modern, actually, I think.
Yeah, I think this came out in 2015. Yeah. This was a weird choice for me because I'm not a big Macklemore fan. I'm not a funk fan, hip hop fan, whatever. But it's fun and it's weird and it's not what I expected from a Macklemore video. It's Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Downtown. Tiramisu, let my coattail drag, but I ain't tiramisu, tiramisu. There's so much weird imagery in this that maybe you guys are used to from like watching, you know, loads of music videos from like whenever you all grew up.
Oh, wow, look
whatever.
At this.
Yeah,
oh,
just throwing that shade. Yeah, all that salt. But yeah, just, I don't know, like there's a point when Eric Nally comes in with like a chariot that's a big eagle head and it's pulled by four massive bikes. There's like a big inflatable dog. There's like a parade and it's fun. And it, like the Robin music video, you feel that song and it's a really great one to repeat because it's a great uplifting, it's a summer song, you know, it's supposed to be a radio song and it feels the music video I can't separate from the song as being a very cheerful, like pure joy and fun, and I love it.
I would like everybody listening to know that for us to whittle this down was hard. There was a lot of conversation. There's been a lot of like...
There's a Google Doc out there that we're trying to just like...
It's got like 150 entries or something.
We did get all those K-pop ones that people sent in as well. We'll maybe look at them some other time.
So if you want to yell at us about something we missed out on, know that A, we deserve it, but B, we also worked really hard to kind of narrow it down to the good ones. Let us know your favorite music videos. Let us know if we should do this again and just kind of talk about music videos in all their forms. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at skipintromy and write us at movies@bfm.my.